Sir. Okay. We've been discussing the last time we learned the sugya of Commander Pasuk Dummy. There's a tangent in the Tosos here that we're going to deal with, which is, again, you could get into a whole sugya and gittin, which we're going to try to skirt, but Tosos says, "Yochel enatko." What was the case? Let's remember, if the husband gives wife again and holds on to the strings, with strings attached, then if he can pull it away, then is she not divorced, even though it's nesina, because being a priestess feleka. And if if he can't pull it away, then she's divorced. The question is, what's the heichi timtzi of him not being able to pull it away? So what's the pashup shot? The pashup shot heichi timtzi of his not being able to pull it away is, why can't he pull it away? Because she clasped her hands, right? So that's the pashup shot. He can't pull it away anymore. The problem is that Tosfos nirid imhaisa yada pesucha b'sha shenasan get liyada v'nisharam shich liyada v'kavta yada b'chozek shemoshe chamshichol yuchal aviyo etzlo she'ena migureshes. Tosfos says, which Baal Tosfos is talking here? Do we know from the general sheet here? Actually, this depends where you look. In most places, it's not the Ri. This is, okay, let's continue. This is basically Ri Natan, right? She'im kafza enemy reshek, she'nas b'yadakum, she'kafza yadah ha'yochol ha'vi'etzlo. Basically, when he put the get in her hand and held onto the string, she was not divorced. V'hekvakfitzalo asa hu'elahi, and he didn't close her hand, she closed her hand. Therefore, so Tosa says this is basically Shita Rein Tam. How do I know this is Shita Rein Tam? Apostles it because Tam at the end of our Tosos and all the other Makoros are going to have to give a different explanation. So Rein Tam says Eina Migureshes. Rein Tam says doesn't work. Why? Because that's the psul tli gitach liyam karka. If I say, I left the get on the desk, and I tell my wife here, take your get, that's psul. I have to give her the get, she can't take the get. And here, she took the get. And it's chesaron nas b'gadda. Also, what's the case? So fine, we can come up with other scenarios. So he says, v'hacha dika amar inu yochel aviyo etzol demigrash, she's going to show you to yada, kfutza v'u tacha v'yada kach chozer, she'n yom shoch m'shicha lo yavi, get it slow. No problem. The case is, tacha l'toch, Yaduk Futsa. Her hand was already closed. And what he did is he stuck it so tight into her closed hands that now he can't pull it away anymore, so he did the whole Nesina. Or Rabbi Natan, Pirish Rabbi Natan gives, he has the same basic sheet, he just comes up with a different clever scenario. He also said it's possible if she closed her hand. She may get covered, call Kafshim Rosal Mashach, get it, he loves, he knows, he comes Sheikha, Megureshes, Mayav Yadav Sukha, Lo Kafsa, Lo Asa, Shom, Dover. Or Rabbi Natan says, talking about a get covey, she didn't close her hand. The only reason why you can't pull away with the string is because the string is thin and the get is heavy and the string will snap. Okay, those last two are perfectly fine okimtas for our Gemara. They're just weird scenarios.
Weird, but someone gives a get with a string to start out.
That is true. That is a good hara. Obviously, the more pashup shot is like the first case, but Rabbeinu Tam says that it doesn't work. The Tosfos elsewhere also quote the Rashbam, who also agrees with Meir Tam, right? This is a family Masorah there. The Rashbam, the Rush ends up passing this way, the Chuli. However, in the Ritva here, he quotes the Ri, and likewise the, again, in the Tosfos and Gittin, the Ri is quoted a little differently. But in the Rush and all the Rishonim, they quote the Ri like the Ritva here. The Ri says she is Mugreshes. No problem. Why? Because she didn't take the get here. The husband started the process. The husband gave it to her. She just finished up the details, and therefore, it's no problem. So we have a fundamental machlokas here, how to interpret this case, to get the other, to the other, to the time of the re, whether you could reset and interpret the shuto. It's good enough the husband gave it to her, even if she did the last step. And And Rabbi Natan says, no, that's a psul of Nasi B'yad B'yad V'leka. That's not Nesina, that's Lekicha. And therefore, he has to give one of these other two, he himself gives the second, one of these other two strange scenarios, which again is not necessarily perfect. It's a strange scenario because there's all strange scenarios to start with. Even nowadays, when we don't give getting with the string, the Tosfos discuss some nafkamina. What if the husband put the get in her hands and she grabs it? Right? So it's actually interesting. That could be more chum or more cow. But for example, in the in the Tosfos and Gittin discusses that, well, this would be Tali and the Machlokas, being a Tom and the Reed. Would it be okay if she grabbed it while still in the middle of the Nesina? We'll come back to the Riff in a moment. Let's just ask the question, what's the Yisod of the Machlokas between a Tom and the Reed? And here, we can get into all the Mesedas Gittin, but maybe we will not now. What's the Yisod of the Machlokas between a Tom and the Reed? So, the... It could very well be that they're arguing about the rules of the husband starting the Nesina and the wife finishing the Nesina. About the husband beginning and the wife ending. For example, so it could be a sort of general general gittin machlokes. For example, I don't know if anyone got to look at the Avnei Miluim. How does the Avnei Miluim view the Yisod of the Machlokas?
Has to just tell her that she's doing it.
Exactly. The Nesina needs to be Lashma. He has to say, this is your get. Right? So he says, really, everyone would agree that it's okay for the husband to do it and the wife to finish up. Everyone agrees that it's okay. The husband can start, the wife can finish. The only question is, does the husband need to start and say hey gita to do the nesina originally lishma, or is it enough that it ends lishma while it's already in the woman's hands? So you could say this is a more general machlokes. For example, the Avnei Miluim says that Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Baal needs Nesina Lishma in his Maaseh. And the Reish says, no, it's okay if Baal starts the Nesina and then says she should finish the Shema. It's okay if the Baal starts the Nesina and says she should finish the Shema. That's also good enough. So the question is, whether you need the Shema when the Baal does his Nesina, and he makes an Okimta. The Okimta is that he didn't say the words Lashma, which is Hareza Giteich, until the end. Right, so that's Okimta. He makes an Okimta. Baal didn't say Hagiteich, which is just Hareza Giteich, until he finished his Maisa. Okay, so this is really a Gittin Machlokas. It's not so relevant to our Sugya necessarily. What he's saying is this is a technical Machlokas. The husband, really it's okay for the husband to do the Nesina and the wife to finish up. The question is, does the husband, in this case, the husband didn't say the word that is Lashma until after he finishes Maisa. Does Lashma need to be when he's acting, or can he even add Lashma while she's acting? Okay, we're not going to analyze that more now, because that's already different Masechet. The Avnei Miluim there argues on a Ramah, who explicates the dark emotion, but Paskin's in the Ramah. The Ramah gives a different Okimta. The Okimta is, and this is reminiscent of Lashon of the Ritva here, is that the Baal didn't say she could close her hand. The Baal didn't say she should close her hand. He just gave her the get it, she closed her hand of her own volition without asking permission. Meaning without the ruts of Habal. And then what's the machlokas? The Re says that no. That you need Ratzon Habal. That the problem here is Ratzon Habal. You need Ratzon Habal. Again, that it would not be Midin Tligiz B'Tavei Karka. You need Ratzon Habal. When the Nesina is finalized. Oh, sorry. I meant Rabbi Tam. Right? Rabbi Tam would say, you need Ratzon Habal when the Nesina is finalized. And the Re would say, as the Lashon of the Ritva here is, when the Ritva quotes the Re here, I'll just show you his Lashon. Give me half a second. Kevin de Ritzon about the Yig at Liyadav, he cuts the Mitocha, Ki'ilu Ritzon, Otapsa Damigarehi Migureshe. It's enough to have the Ratzon Habal by the main Nesina. The Re says, no, it's enough. To have the Ratzon Habal by the main Nesina, and if he gave it to her Ratzon, the fact that she finished up without his permission is not a problem because he gave it to her Ratzon.
Shouldn't it be the initial Nesina, not the main Nesina?
Okay, good enough. By the initial
later on.
Okay, by the initial Nesina. Now. That's the Avin Gula. Those are two classic ways of interpreting the machlokis here. But the Ritva here points out that this might get a little more complicated, perhaps more relevant to our sugya. Instead of arguing about the general rules of Gerushin, maybe they're arguing specifically about the nature of get biyado umeshicha biyada. The Ritva says at the end that he thinks, what does he go from Bali Tosos? He says, and Bali Tosos say that even though nowadays you don't have strings, it's a nafkamina, can the wife grab the get while the husband's giving to her or not? Now Ritva himself says, no, Taka, I don't think that's nafkamina. I think the Re was only makel on a string. But the Re wouldn't be makel. The Re wouldn't be makel if the husband hadn't given her the get yet. What does the Ritva say at the end here? If it's not a matter of restraint, if I'm giving the get and she grabs it while I'm still holding the get, that's possible kuli alma. The kosher baal tov the gufo shall get yochel and not go so ain't a migreshes. Vafilu efli shein yochel or even kocha ishu kim she can start linen a yav sucha. What is the Ritva saying here? I think if we now we have to add something here. What the Ritva says, what's pshat of the Re? The Ritva says that it's only migureshes in get biyado yada umeshicha biyado because you have a full nesina and the woman only resolves a side problem. And therefore, he says, if you look at the Ritva, now, again, the Ritva says two things. It's not a steer. What is the Ritva saying? The Ritva is saying, look, if he hadn't done a Nesina yet, then it wouldn't be good enough that he had brought some, because he didn't do the Nesina yet. The Ritva says, again, against the way the Bali Tosos understand him, that if I haven't done the Nesina yet and you grab it, that's for sure possible. Because I haven't even done a Nesina. The only thing that Re is machshir is if I do the Nesina, I just have a string, and then you're posting the string. So what's the svara of the Ritva? Let's think about this for a second. Let's even say it a little better. The Ritva says that the svara of the Re is that since Baal did the entire Nisina Beratzon, he did the whole Nisina Beratzon, then if the woman finalizes the divorce by removing the side problem of Krisus, that's okay. That's what the Ritva says in the read. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say back? He doesn't say. What does Rabbeinu Tam respond? What does Rabbeinu Tam respond? So what can Rabbeinu Tam respond? He could say that Rabbeinu Tam might respond by saying that no, that you, no, you always need that's why he's one way Rabbeinu Tam respond is that no, the can never finalize gerushin of her own initiative, even if the Baal did a Nesina. But that's not what the Rush says. What does the Rush say in Gittin? Anyone look at the Rush in Gittin? The Rush says in Gittin, it isn't obvious if the husband does a Nesina, it's okay for the woman to finalize it. So why does the Rush pass like Rabbeinu Tam in the end? The Rush passes like Rabbeinu Tam in the end, the Rush says, because over here, do I have Rush in Gittin? No, Lomashaneh. He says, over here, the husband didn't do a Nesina. You have a Lush in the Rush in Gittin there? Did I read it for a second? Thank you. The Rush in Gittin says, Abel Hacha meikar lahavi Nesina. What does the Rush say? The Rush says no. In this case, there was no Nesina as long as he was Yachol Lenatko. Meaning maybe the Machlokas is, you could say, the Machlokas based on the Rush and the Ritva. Now again, can I promise you that the Rush and the Ritva would both analyze it the same way? I can't. But maybe the Machlokas would be, the Rush would say that as long as the Baal is holding the strings, he didn't do Nesina. And the Ritva would say, nope, that even though he's holding the strings, he did a full Nesina. What we're saying is, you could be a machlokas about the requirements of the husband ending and the woman, the husband beginning and the woman finishing the get. Could be machlokas about, does he need to start it out lishma, or is it enough she can end it lishma? Does he need to start it out Baratzon, or does he need to end with his Ratzon? Or you can analyze it many, many other ways as well. But it could be, if you look at the Lush and the Ritva and the Rush, the Ritva says, what do you mean? The Ritva says, the Ri is only makel here because he did a full Nesina. He wouldn't be makel without a full Nesina. And the Rush says, well, I agree with Rabbeinu Tam to be makel here because he didn't do a full Nesina. So it could very well be that they're not arguing about general machlokes and Hilchos Gittin. It could be they're arguing about the nature of the din of get biyado, biyada, umeshicha biyado. What would you say if you knew our Gemara? Would you say when the husband gave her again and held the strings, he did a Nesina or not? What does it sound like from our Gemara?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, because. And how do we know it counts as a Nesina? Because of what pasuk it does it fulfill? Right? It would be good enough for Kinyan Sudar, right? If I give you Gimel and Gimel, I can pull it away, it's good enough for Kinyan Sudar, right? So obviously it is called Nesina. That's what it says right here. Karina Bey, Vinasa L'Riyeh, Vikman the Pasuk Dummy. It's v'nasa l'riehu. So really, who has the stronger svara? The stronger svara is the Ritva. Karinan bei v'nasa l'riehu. This is a side problem of krisos, but it's a different side problem of krisos. Okay, there are many side problems of krisos. Basically, whenever the woman's not free, it's a problem of krisos being a maleka. Like, for example, if the husband gives her a t'nai that will take forever and know she was fulfilled, that's not a valid gerushin because she's not, there's no krisos. If the husband would say, hariat megureshes almanas, that I won't change my mind, then that would be invalid because the lack of krisos. That's a side problem of krisos. It's not a pigam in the nesina. What would the rush say back? The rush is lush, that there's no nesina here. Think what the rush would say back is that krisos teaches us that there is a different definition of nesina for get. I think that might be the yesod of the machlokes you're showing here. Do you say you did a fine nesina? If you did a nesina, then what's the problem? She finishes off. The husband did his nesina. That's the Ritva. The husband did his nesina. I wouldn't be making if the husband hadn't done a nesina yet. Right? The husband did his nesina. What's the problem? That's the Ritva. What do you mean? It's a side problem of krisos. The husband did nesina. He was Mekayim Benasa B'yada. Right? He was Mekayim Benasa B'yada. Ah, you want to know if he was Mekayim Benasa B'yada B'ratzon? Okay, so Alom Ratzon at the beginning is good enough. You want to know if he was Mekayim Benasa B'yada L'shma? This is enough L'shma. But he did Benasa B'yada. The Rush would say, no, what do you mean he didn't do Benasa B'yada? He might have done Benasa L'riehu by Kenyan Suda, but this is not Benasa B'yada. Why? Because they're arguing about this dinner krisos of being of a Lekka. Doesn't mean the Geder of Nesina by Ged is the same as the Geder of Nesina by Mamanos. There's just a different problem of krisos being of a Lekka. That would be the way the Ritva explains the Re. Or does it mean no? The Geder of Nesina for Ged is different than the Geder of Nesina for Kenyan Suda. That's exactly what we mean. Kenyan Suda says, Venasa L'riehu, you just need reg, Nesina just depends on what's in your hand. Since in Get it says krisos, therefore the words Venasa B'yada means something different, means you need a full Nesina, means you need an absolute Nesina. So that could be the Machlokas, the Rebbeinu Tam. Again, I'm putting together the Rush in Rebbeinu Tam and the Ritva in the Re, I admit. But I think that's likely to be the Machlokas, that certainly that's what it sounds like from the Rush, that the Re would say, what do you mean, you've done a Nesina? All the woman did was remove a side problem later. That's a perfectly fine get. And Rebbeinu Tam would say, no, you haven't done a Nesina here. Because by get, it's not enough to have regular Nesina. By get, you need absolute Nesina. And we learned from Krisis, the word v'nasa b'yada means more than v'nasa l'riehu, means an absolute Nesina. And if the husband hasn't done a Nesina, then you're in trouble. So, that's what I meant. You could say, they're arguing about Gufa, how to understand the words of our Gemara. Or you could say, no, they're not arguing how to understand the words of our Gemara. Everyone agrees it's a full Nesina. That's the Avnei Milum thinks. Everyone agrees it's not a full Nesina. They're arguing about the other Dinum of Gittin.
If you're going to compare it to our Gemara, then don't you have to worry about whether it's fully in her hand or whether she's only holding part of it? If she's only holding part of it, then she has her shalosh al shalosh of the get. That's not a whole...
Okay, that is a very good Ha'arah. There's a Radvaz about that that I was not thinking of mentioning, but I didn't mention last time. The simple pshat in Gemara, I think, of get b'yada is that the whole get is in her hand. Now that's an interesting question. It depends how big they used to write in those days. Nowadays, I think the minig is to be machmir, to write a little larger just to make sure that all the osios come out properly, but to be machmir to put the whole get in her hand for whatever reason. So, and sometimes they have to fold it up if necessary to get into her hand. But let's say the simple shot was all in her hand, then it wouldn't be a problem. You're right, if it was only partially in her hand, partially not in her hand, it was partially in her hand, partially not in her hand, but that's not the pasuk shot in our Gemara, because we want to make it parallel to the Gimel El Gimel, which is totally in her hand. So I'd say the simple shot of the Gemara is that it's partially in her hand, is that it's all in her hand. If you want to read our Gemara, one thing that would be great if you were right, is that if you read a Gemara that's not all in her hand, nothing to do with this, but with last year, if you read the Gemara that she can't fit the whole paper in her hand, then the Radvaz says this is the Makor of the Rambam. How does the Rambam know that if you're holding part of it and you could be menachic the rest, that's a valid kinyan? Because she's only holding part of the get. What gives her the rest of the get? The answer is, if the husband can't pull it away, that means she can pull it away. right? Meaning that's all of Newton's second law. If the husband pulls the string, wouldn't get it. That means if she pulled her side, she would get it. Newton's second law is the same whether she pulls or he pulls. And that's how the Rambam knew that if you're holding part of something you do not take, you get what's in the middle. So that if you're right, that would be a great marker for the Rambam. I'm just not convinced that Shana the Gemara. Okay. I was Maravis to a lot of Gittin, but the Ikras I wanted to get to, the Chakira and Ar Sugya of, and this is also important methodologically. We're not going to have a lot of time on methodology today. When you have like, it's good enough to see them, but all of a sudden we throw in Krisas. You know, you throw in a special Xeris Akasov, you always have to ask, is that special Xeris Akasov a different requirement? Or is that special Xeris Akasov saying, no, the whole area of Halacha is different, it's a different kind of Nesina. It could be that's good for the Machlokas. If it's a different kind of Nesina, you haven't done Nesina yet, you're in trouble. If it's just a separate requirement, you've done your Nesina. Well, the separate requirements, that's okay for the woman to take care of. All right, we'll leave it at that. Now going on to the next Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. Now, here the Gemara is, I'll admit, there's a few things in the end of this perek that are a little frustrating or challenging technically. For example, now we have about an Amud of Nefila Shtar. First we have Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. Okay, we'll get to the Shtar later. Let's say with Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar, we're okay. It's just a little funny because here we have Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar till the end of the Amud. Then we have a guy who finds a Shtar to the first half of Amud Beis. Then we go back to Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar in the second half of Shnayim Adukim Beis. And then in another five plot, we have lots of sugyos about finding a Shtar. Okay, so if it was up to me, I would have put that little half an Amud about finding a Shtar four plot later with all halachos of finding a Shtar and stuck here Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. Because now we're the sugya of Shnayim Adukin, right? But what we'll do instead is we'll be ma'ayin as much as we need to in Shnayim Adukin to Shtar. When it comes to the top of Zayin and Aleph of someone who finds a Shtar, we'll just try to read the Pashup Shat in Gemara without being ma'ayin in the Yesodos, just to get the Pashup Shat down, because we're not really ready to understand the Yesodos of finding a Shtar till Daf Yud Beis. So that's our game plan. We are going to try to fully understand Shnayim Adukin B'Shtar as much as we can, and the Nefila Shtar in the top of Zayin and Beis, we'll just try to understand on a Pashup Shat Gemara level. We have some similar issues in Daf Ches, which is, the whole sugya of Daf Ches and Aleph is an exception to a din which is in Daf Yud. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's start with Shnayim Adukin B'Shtar. Tana Rabban. Shnayim Adukin B'Shtar Malva Omer Shalihu V'Nafu Meinu Mitzasiv Lova Omer Shal Chayu Parativ Lach Yizkai M'Shtar B'Chos Lov D'Rivim. So they're arguing, two people are the Malva and Lova arguing about a Shtar. Now obviously they have to have a Taina, right? Meaning, if they both say, well, we both admit that I haven't paid the loan yet. I just found this on the street first and you found the street first, and that's ridiculous. Of course, give it back to the Malva. That's called the Shomes Aveda. If we say we both admit you did pay the loan, then they also can't fight. What do you mean? Both of you paid the loan, but I clearly found it in the street. It doesn't matter. You found something in the street that doesn't belong to you, give it to the fellow it belongs to. So obviously the machlokas has to be, they argue about who, it can't be Hefker, they argue about who originally dropped the shtar, who originally owned the shtar. So the Malva says that you haven't paid the loan, I still deserve the shtar, I just dropped it and then we found it at the same time. And the Lova says, I did pay the loan, and I dropped it, and then we picked it up at the same time, so what do you do? Yizkai M'Shtar Chos V'Duri Rebbe. Rebbe says, again, it sounds like, we're not going to get into what it sounds like, Rebbe says, right, you're Mekayim the shtar, and then he has to pay. Reshbag Omar Yachloku. Right, says they split it just like the Talis. Nothly, a Dayan look at your Olamas. If it falls into the hands of the Dayan, then he never releases it. Again, it sounds like what it's saying is sort of along the lines of by the Arab and Bamatsiya, the Talis of Alkimine, if you bring it to court and give it to the Dayan, then at that point he can't return it at all. Rabbi Yosef says, no, even falls into the Dayan, still in the Chazaka. Sounds like you would still do whatever you do otherwise. Now, let's see what any of this price actually means, according to the Shas. Amar Mar, Yizkai M'Shtar V'Chos Lo, Govili Malva Kule, says what Rebbe Pashup Shat sounds like, you do Kiyum Shtaris, authenticate the signatures, and then he can be go with the whole Shtar. Less than Asnisha Shnayim Oksim Kule. Why should the Malva win 100%? Isn't it a Mishnah? Shnayim Ochos and Batalis? So that's really hard to understand. Amar Avram Nachman, no, including the Rekoya Flogu. Really, we misunderstood. We think Rebbe's favoring the Malvet, Mekayim and collect it all. No, really, Rebbe's favoring the Lova. Everyone needs Yachloku. The question is, do you need to be Mekayim and Yachloku? Or can you be Yachloku without Kiyom? Right, according to Rekoya Yachloku. Everyone agrees, if it happens to be Shnayim Rekoyim, then you would do Yachloku. Everyone agrees that a Shtar is Bechlal Shnayim Ochos and Batalis. One of the questions which you might want to ask yourself, which you won't answer yet, but something to think about is it so pashut that a shtar should be b'chlal shnayim ochos u'metalis? Maybe it should be different. What are the assumptions the Gemara is making here?
Well, there's no shvuah.
Why not? Of course there's a shvuah. M'stami yachloku b'shvuah. It doesn't say so. M'stami yachloku b'shvuah. The malva will say, I swear that you still owe me no less than half of the chov, and the lova will say, I swear that I'm prejudicing myself a little here, but for let's as an example, without committing myself, that I swear that I paid at least half the chov. Why not?
The takana isn't
shaya. Why not? I don't understand. That's not a good takana. Now, I happen to be a relatively honest fellow, but let's assume that I wasn't. I enjoy once in a while as a thought experiment. You shouldn't enjoy this thought experiment too often, because it can have a bad effect on you. But it's a good thought experiment once in a while, especially if you're learning Gemara. You have to be aware of these things. Think, if I was a dishonest person, what might I do that would be exceedingly clever and use all my yeshivish training? For sure, what would I do if I owed someone a lot of money and they had a shtar? Right, I would go over them and I would say, okay, you know what, I think it's time to pay. Can you get out the shtar? Can I just check to make sure the exact amount? And I would grab it. Shnayim Ochos U'metalis, Yachloku, I just made back half my money. Right? Not a crazy... And if I was the Malveh, I might pull the same shtick with the Lova. The Lova says, you're a dishonest person. I'm not giving you the money until I have the shtar. I'd say, sure, here's the shtar. And I take the money, and as I get the money, I'm one step ahead of him. I grab all the money in my pocket, and I'm still holding on to the shtar. I think it's got a shayach.
That's not what the Gemara taught. They're both motive that it got lost.
No, but that's true in the Mishnah also. They both claim they picked up the Metziah, but really we think one of them might have grabbed it from the other. So that's still parallel.
You see something which is like Tavra Gumpa Mamon, and it's supposed to like the ability to be Gobek. Many of your being Tam, and you think it's like a Natsahadi, so then all you're going to get is the paper. You're not necessarily going to get the ability to.
So the Chazan Yecheskel, you know the Chazan Yecheskel? Dayan Yecheskel Abramsky is the Talmud of Rav Chaim. We have the whole set except for Bar Metziah in the base matters, interestingly enough. If anyone has a suggestion for what to do about that, I'm interested to hear. But anyway, in the very, very beginning of Bar Metziah, he wrote the Chazan Yecheskel, which is allegedly a perush on the Tosefta on all of Shas. Not so clear that such a person is Tosefta. Tosefta seems to be more like using the Tosefta to, you know, to teach all the lundus in the Gemara, which is, you know, I think a very valuable goal. So he says the opposite of what you're saying, Eli. The very beginning of the Sefet, he says the opposite of what you're saying. He says, no, if there's really an Anan Sadi, then it makes sense. There's an Anan Sadi, the Malva must have paid half, otherwise why would he be holding the Lova must have paid half, otherwise why would he be holding it? The Anan Sadi, the Malva must have not been paid half, because otherwise why'd he be holding it? And he thinks it's a reasonable Anan Sadi.
Okay,
he in fact says the other way it doesn't work.
No, I'm saying if you really think it's like Il Mechaka, and it's already like 50-50, so then you
have
to start.
No. But remember what Nechlecha means. Okay, we didn't get to this Gemara yet. This is going to be exactly... You're trying to tell me exactly the Shaka Mataria from the bottom of Zion base to the top of Chesim and Aleph, except without what it says. that's exactly what the Gemara discusses. And in the end, they decide that Yachloku doesn't mean you cut... Oh, no, we already know this from the Talmud Sefer Beimitzi. Koi Dava Beimitzi. It doesn't mean you split it like with scissors, half and half down the middle. It means that you split the value of it.
No, that's the stuff that's in the middle, but that's what
you, it might. Oh, let's assume it's all in the middle right now. For now, let's assume it's all in the middle.
Radukin.
What?
Radukin.
Okay. That's a good ha'ara. I hear the ha'ara. Okay, so let's say that's when we get Zion Beis. I do hear the horror now. Okay, so that I'm giving you something to think about. I'm not going to answer it yet, because first we're going to just deal with what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? B'mkoyim d'vei kol yachloku. As a matter of fact, at this point, the Gemara even doesn't even think it's exciting that you apply Yechalot to Roshtar, right? The last Lashneimos and the Talis, Vechuli, like, obviously you apply Yechalot to Roshtar. Okay, Eli's pointing out that maybe you have to think about how to apply Yechalot to Roshtar, since it is not, you know, intrinsically, you're not actually, you know, fighting over who bought the shtar, you're fighting more over who paid the loan, or who did I pay the loan. I'll leave that as food for thought for you.
I'm assuming there's a shvur here.
I'm assuming there's a shvur here. What? Yeah. So, what's the machlokas then? So what the Gemara ends up saying here is that the machlokas has nothing to do with Shai Mokhs Metalis. It's a general machlokas in Hilcha Shtaros. Right? You couldn't do Rekoya Chlokum. Everyone agrees that if the shtar was Makoyim, if the signatures were authenticated, we would do Shnaim Oksan, Mishtar, Yachloku. They're not arguing about the, at least the Pashas, that the halachos of Yachloku. He pleaded Shain Makoyim. They're arguing on a different machlokis. What about a shtar that's not Makoyim? Now, anyone want to give me some background? What about a shtar that's not Makoyim? Right? Makoyim is like what we call in English nowadays, right? It's called notarized. Right? Anyone ever have to notarize something? So, So if you have to, what does notarizing mean? It means you have a shtar, or any type of legal document, has a signature. I could just write anything and sign some guy's name, and it would be subject to abuse. So therefore, there's a law, every one of the 50 states has different laws, and Israel has its own laws. There's a law that basically, this is not how halacha works, but in modern day Western society, it depends for very small things that are not such a big deal, so we just hope it works out, and then if it turns out to be a forged signature, we'll worry about it when we get there. And for things that are much more serious and important, you have a requirement that the document's not valid until you notarize, meaning you go to a certain person who's called a notary who has certain official rights, and he checks to make sure that it's a real signature, and he gives it his little stempel, and now you know that it's an authentic signature, right? And no one can forge the notary because there's only certain notaries, and they all have to follow special rules, and therefore, you know, that's too hard to forge. So in halacha, we have the similar idea, right? We don't differentiate between big shtaros and small shtaros, right? That you need kiyum shtaros. By the shtar that says Gutenberg owes me $100,000 and it's signed by two Adim, then how do I know those are the real Adim? So you have to notarize it with kiyum shtaros. There's no special notary, meaning you have to go to Bez Din, and the assumption is that you can't just fake, you know, the signature of Bez Din. That's something which is, you know, everyone knows, and if you're going to Bezdin anyway, they'll figure out. You have to go to Bezdin, and you have to prove that these are authentic signatures, either by having people come in and admit that they signed, or by, you know, proving it's their signatures based on their records of Bezdin and other things that Bezdin saw them sign. Okay, you have to prove their signatures. That's called Kiyum Shtaros, then it's a Shtar Mekoyim. Later on in the Gemara, what do we call the Kiyum that they write on the Bezdin? We call it a henpeg, right? That's the Gemara a little later on. Okay, that's Kiyum Shtaros. Now, someone want to tell me about the origin of the concept of Kiyum Shtaros? Right, it's the Kanan Rabbanan. The Gemara says Mefurish, Ein Rafsun Al Stark, we should have to do some Bezdin dummy, right? That Mida Oraisa, every Shtar is considered to be kosher. Okay, that seems to be a very naive or at least ambitious assumption. Why midoraisa we assume every shtar is kosher? Well, Miratoshem Gefu and Dafu Beis. We'll see what Rechaim has to say about it. We'll see what everyone else in the world has to say about it. We'll see what Rechaim's right. But midoraisa all shtars are kosher. Almost all Rishonim agree that in all circumstances midoraisa all shtars are kosher. We're not kosher for ziyuf, but midrabanan the midatakana to be kosher for ziyuf. That's kiyum shtars. Okay, fine. What's the machlokas here? The machlokas here is, what if it ain't Makoyim, but what is the Lovatainin? And they have the same machlokas, not just they could, they do have the same machlokas elsewhere in Shas, even when it's not Shtayim Adukim B'Shtar, just a Stam Shtar, right? The Lova gets his half. Sorry, the Malva gets his half. What is the Lovatainin? Taina, if the Lova would Taina, I admit I owe you, fine. If the Lova would Taina Mazuyaf, then it's very clear, that's the din of Kiyum Shtaros, the Malva would have been Taina. What if the Lova over here, Taina, it's a good Shtar, but I paid Piron. So Rabbi Sarv Motor Shah Shakasu Sarf Kaimo, be Mikhaimli Poly, be Lomakai Lopoly, Mike, Tamachas Bial. Okay. What does Rabbi says? Rabbi holds a sheet of Motor Shah Shakasu Sarf Le Kaimo. That even if the Lova admits it's a valid shtar, the Malva still needs Kiyom to prevent the lover from saying parati. Why would the lover be able to, and therefore he says, if there's kiyum, he collects half, there's no kiyum, he collects nothing. Why? What's the svara of manu remodim starsha kasvim tsaras lakaimo? Because what would happen if he... What would happen if he... Who's this? Rebbe. Rebbe says, tsaras lakaimo. Because what would happen if he wasn't lakaimit? The lovet is... If not, what can the lovet do? Neman to say what? Say parati, right? Basically, they're not arguing whether he has to mekayim it, or perhaps they're arguing whether the lova has neman to say parati. The lova is neman to say parati, right? If not, the lova is neman to say parati. Why is the lova neman to say parati? It says right here, my time, what's the reason? Chas b'v yamahu. Really, the star is worth this. Man kamash v'le ha'i star lova. Who makes it a valid star of the lova? Because he admits that it's authentic. Right, what do we call this? He didn't have to admit it's a good star, but he admits a good star, but says Paratu should be Neman. Right, Rashi Masechus Shabbos, I put in the, whoever I put in the Makoros here, right, who did I put? Rashi Masechus Shabbos, and the Miuchasim Lurit Vahir, say, Pesha Asar Hu Ha Pesha Hitter. What is this? Of course, what concept is this sort of similar or equivalent to? Migo, right. There's a, if anyone got a chance to look at the Beis HaLevi, which we'll come back to, he has a big dion, whether it's because of Pesha Asar or because of Migos, certainly the Lashon here sounds like Lashon of Pesha Asar or Pesha Hitcher, who's the whole person who made it start in the first place. Right, so let's... Yeah. We'll put in parentheses. Shehita. What does Rashbam say? And therefore, Rebbe says that I'm not arguing that Shnei Mokson bid. Shnai Maduk Mishtar, that's not my Indian here. I don't care about Shnai Maduk Mishtar. Admit Yafloku, I'm just arguing about a general idea that you always have to say parati if there's no kiyum. And Shmuel Gamliel, so Murder Shashi Gozo, Ain't Sarath Lakaim Ovi, Avagil Lakaim Lo, Ya, Mechaim Le Yafloku. Very Pashat. Ain't Sarath Lakaim Lo. Because. Neman. Litton Parati. Okay, now, very, very simple question. And this is a Shastik. Machlokes. Whose sheet makes more sense, Rebbe or Rashbag? Rebbe, because Rebbe's just using a Kultar Kula principle, right? We know Migu, we know Pesha Zepeshaitim, we know when you have a winning time, you can take a different winning time. And that's what Rebbe says. You have to Mekayim it, because otherwise he's a winning time in Mizoyev, so he could win with Parati. And Rashbag somehow doesn't allow Migu here, right? And Blush of Tosus and Ksubas asks, why are you Neman B'Migu? So what is the Svara of Rashbag? Better. What's the svara of Rav Shimon Gamliel? So, anyone, what's the svara of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why aren't you Neman B'Migu? After all, Rebbe sounds right. We actually pass like Rebbe in the end. Right? We pass like Rebbe in the end. Modu Shashukasu Tzarech L'Kaimo. Because otherwise the Lov has a Migu of Mazuyif and he's Neman Seperati. So what's Rav Shbag's svara? Because... Okay, who says that? Tosos and Ksubas quotes from Rashi in. Where does he quote the Rashi from? The Mokam Achir, right? Tosos and Ksubas says that Rashi, Pirish, the Mokam Achir, he asks this question, right? He says, we've been told my time, Lomahem, Vigu, Dibayam, Mzuyev. So he says, the Pirish HaKunchus, Makom Acher, the Taima, because Kim Shtar is only de Rabbanon. Now, where's this Kunchus, Makom Acher? Lachora, I misquoted Tosos. He didn't say Rashi wrote Makom Acher. He wrote that the Kunchus wrote Makom Acher. Right? Who wrote it, Makom Acher? The Rashbam in Bava Basra, right? That's Tosos is not misquoting. It is a Kunchus, Makom Acher. It's just not Rashi's. Kuntras Makam Acher, but the Rashbam did write, everyone thinks he's quoting Rashi, but he's quoting Rashbam, because I don't think Rashi wrote this in any Makam Acher, to the best of my knowledge. He says here that it's not like all Peshas Peshah Hitter, because we don't think it's really Mizoyif. It's just Echmiru Chachamim Lahatzrich Kiyom Hechadim Ariyaleh. It's only a Chomer Chamim Hilchah Yomer Ksavti Nehem Lemishashtar VeYado. So what's the Svara of Rashbag? Here we have the Rashbam Kuntras B'Makom Acher. The Rashbam says, what's the Svara? The Svara is that Kiyum Shtar is only Rabbanim. Midah Raisa, we're not. Midah Raisa, we're not Choshi doing Kiyum Shtar. Kiyum Shtar is only Midah Rabbanan. And therefore, the Takana is only if you say Mezuyath, then you need Kiyum. But if you didn't say Mezuyath, you said Parati, then the Takana doesn't apply and you don't need Kiyum. Meaning, if Midah Raisa, you needed Kiyum, then we would say, what do you mean? You need the Raisa, you need Kiyum. You don't have anything without Kiyum. Right? It's not a Shtar without Kiyum. They say, no, it's a special Takana Darabanan. So says the Rashbam, Kiyum Shtaros is Midarabanan, and the Takana only applies if not if he claims parati. Okay, in that case, what would Rebbe say back? Please don't tell me he'd say the Kiyum Shtar is a Daraisa, because that is not a valid shita for Rebbe to hold. What would Rebbe say back? Rashbam gets the point. He says, what do you mean? You're talking about Migu, you're talking about Pesha Asa, right? He says, Migu, Pesha Asa. That's talking about when you have like a real Daraisa, like kindness. Over here, it's a special Takana Drabanan, right? Well, yeah, if he said Mezuyah, he needs Kiyum Shtaros. Over here, he didn't say Mezuyah, so don't give me Amigos and Pesha Asars. What might Rebbe say back?
Didn't the Rebbe raise the point that without it, then we consider
it Chasuvial? Aha! I don't even think you have to throw in the words affect the Daraisa, even. So Eli's saying, what's the Yisod of the Machlokas? Here, it's very fascinating. What's the Yisod of the Machlokas? So, what does Rebbe say back? One way Rebbe says back, because really, I mean, I could say the Rashbam's taking two assumptions, whatever. I'm going to let you have fun and figure it out on your own. What Eli says is that no. Eli? One L, right? That what does Rebbe say back to Rashbag? That Rebbe says, no, I know Kiyum Shtar is a Drabanan, but how many ways are there of understanding, this is all a lot about what I'm saying, of understanding the kind of Drabanan Kiyum Shtar is. What are the two ways of understanding the Takana Drabanan of Kiyum Shtaros? Midah Oraisa, we're not choshish for Ziyuf. Midah Oraisa, it's a Chazaka that it's not Mezuyif. So what did the Rabbanan do when they came and said Kiyum Shtaros? Eli, what are the two ways?
Either they said that
Midah Rabbanan,
we are choshish for
Ziyuf. Ah, one way is saying, Midah Oraisa, we're not choshish for Ziyuf. We have a Chazaka that it's not Mezuyif. Right? Or maybe more than that, but that was Zoyev. Midrabanan, we're all koshish for Ziyuf. Midrabanan have the right, do they have the right to change the ground rules in Dina Mamanos? Yes, that's called Hefker Bez and Hefker, right? They have the right to change the ground rules, right? Like half the Dina Mamanos, right? There's all kinds of Ziris Drabanan. So they said, yeah, Midoraisa, it's not Mezuyev. Midrabanan, it is Mezuyev. Therefore, it is, until you have Kiyum, it's a Chaspa Bialda, right? And what's the other way of understanding it? Either midrabanan, it is a chash mezuyif, or what's the other way of understanding it? The gzeir drabanan?
Not just bav mezuyif, it's everything, no?
Kiyum, takanas kiyum shtaros. Either you could say that midrabanan, kol shtar, Shash Ziyuf. Every star is suffering Mezuyif until you have Kiyum. Right? Or you could say, no, afilu midrabanan ein choshishin leziyof. Even midrabanan kol shtar bechez kas kashrus. Even midrabanan eidu asumno stak vishnech vidus bezendami. But aval you have the right to ask for kiyum. Midrabanan, we don't really think it's puzzle. Right? Anyone know if we're dealing with shvuah, what phrase I would use here? Perhaps? L'hafizai tishbal bias, maybe. Right? Even midrabanan, we don't really think it's kosher. Every shtar is becheskes kashrus. However, every shtar is becheskes kashrus. However, if you claim that, if you taina, that it's mezuyah, you have the right to demand kiyum, meaning it's not a takana of chash ziyum. It's a takana of kiyum shtaros. There's a rule called kiyum shtaros. There's a din drabanan called chi of kiyum shtaros. If I ask you, you have to be mekayim the shtar. The question is, what's the takana? Is this a takana chash ziyum? Or no? Just a takana of kiyum shtaros. It's not that we think it's mezuyah. It's that you have the right to demand kiyum shtaros. Now, what might be an afkamina before we get to our sunya? What might be an afkamina, whether we really are chosh every shtar is mezuyah, just very common sense, or whether it's just a right that you have the right to demand kiyum shtaros?
The lova doesn't say mezuyah.
Right, what if the lova doesn't say mezuyah? Right, now, that's going to be a sort of funny case. Why? Ari, let me press you a little. What do you mean the lova doesn't say mezuyah? I say, here's a shtar, you owe me $1,000. If you don't say mezuyah, then shtika kodah, then your mode is not mezuyah. So that's not a good enough gemina. How do you have a good enough gemina? The lova doesn't say mezuyah because? Because he's dead or not here, right? That's a good enough gemina. If I go into court and you're the lova, if you say mezuyah, if you say mezuyah, it's not enough gemina. If you don't say mezuyah, then you're mode. Right? That's shtika kodah. That's valid me edim. The enough gemina is, what if the lova is not here to say either way, right? What about shalom b'funav? It could be he's dead. It could be he's just not here. What about nifra shalom b'funav? So this is a tremendous machlokas rishonim. And there's a famous Tosfos in Ksuba Sadi Beis on the Beis. If you looked at the Beis HaLevi here, I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at Beis HaLevi, he quotes the Achronen, the poskim, who quote this Tosfos. Although I don't think he quotes the Tosfos. The famous sheet of the Ri in Ksuba Sadi Beis on the Beis, Tosfos not the Bali Tosos don't all agree with this, all over Shas, who says that Nafkamina Nifra Shalobafanov. What about Nifra Shalobafanov? There's a Shita the Ring Subasadi Bez of the Bez who says you don't need Kiyum. If he's not here, you don't need kiyum. What do you mean? The kana doesn't apply. The kana only applies if he says it's forged. If he's not here, then you're potter from the takana. Obviously, we don't really have a chash as mezuyah. Otherwise, why would we be taking someone's money? Be something, right? If it was really a something shtar, we wouldn't have a chash that it was mezuyah. However, the other rishonim. Now here's where it gets a little tricky, but would say you do need kiyum. The other Rishonim would say you do need kiyum. However, it's a little tricky because really, even the other Rishonim say you do need kiyum could be for one of two reasons. It could be you do need kiyum because every shtar is b'chashash b'zoyif. Or it could be because there's a special rule when people aren't here. Anyone know what special rule we use?
Tanina.
It could be because when he's not here, it's as if he did tanina mezuyah. So that just gets a little tricky that because maybe there's a special rule that when someone's not here, it's as if they did make all their tainas. So, this is a one-way nafkamina. Clearly, the Ri holds that this is not a chash ziyuf. There's no suffix ziyuf. It's just a kind of kiyum shtaros. That's clearly what the Ri holds. Just a kind, yes?
Not to be completely annoying, but if we say that it's a heifer, does that mean that we have to limit our distin of the Zuyim to like Dine Mominus and not when it comes to Jitin or Kiddushin or other Dine Isser?
No, what this means is that when it comes to getting in Kiddushin, it would only apply the Chumra, not the Kul, because there are abundant. They're going to have all rights in the Mubbinus in Dine Yisr Hetu. They only have Chumra rights, right? So it means we only apply the Chumra, not the Kula. And if Nami, for sure, we will apply the Chumra, not the Kula. There would not be enough Gemina, though. So, the for sure, the Tosin Subas holds, who says, what do you mean? If he doesn't say anything, if he's not here to talk, you don't need Kiyum, says, obviously, it's not a Chashash Ziyos. So when you multi Mubbin, it's something. Because really, something Ziyos, how can you be multi Mubbin? It just means that he has the right to demand Kiyum. The other he's shown him, might hold that no, it's a fundamental chashash ziyuf, or they might say no, we admit it's just a right to make kiyum. But when someone's not here, it's as if they are here making their best kindness with the special rule of tanina. Another nafkamina could be, which is also I think the same one way nafkamina. What if what's another way where the lova could not say? Basically, we don't have to say nafkamina because if the lova says mezuyuf, then we know you need kiyum. That's the takana, right? You don't need lovedness for that. If the Lova admits it's not Mezuyah, then even it's not Mezuyah. We want to know when the Lova doesn't say either way. So one case, if he's not here. What's another case where the Lova cannot say either way? What if he says? What? What if he says, I don't know? What if he says it might be Mezuyah? What about a tiny suffix of Mezuyah? What about a tiny shem of Mezuyah? So, meaning, what does the Lova need to say to demand Kiyum? Does he need to say it is Mezuyah? Or does he need to say it could be Mezuyah? The Tosus Rid, now you're not going to find the Tosus Rid, right? And must siding super Jacques and Aleph says he's just describing Kia like to explain to first graders what Kim Staris is. So he says, Perish, Ruben holds his star called Shimon Shimon Ton, any makir Hasimas Aidim. I don't recognize these Hasimas. Bishema Mazuyafu. It might be Mazuyaf. Any Achal Ruben Legabospo, Adslo Yikayim Staro. Ruben can't collect, he needs to be Mikayim the Star. What does Tosus Rid say? That a Tanya Shema requires, what about Love Toein Shema Mezuyaf? So the Rid, Tosus Rid, in Subos Yud Chesam Days, says you need Kiyum. That makes sense. If there's really a suffix Ziyuf, then of course you need Kiyum. Unless he's molded that it's authentic, you need Kiyum. What he says, it might be Mezuyah, and the Taka might be Mezuyah. So you have Mamanah with Lasaf, or Safik Mamanah. I'm most real of Haraya. If he says, I don't know if it's a valid star or not, right, then you have to be Mekayim, the star. However, the same Tosin Ksuba says very, very clearly, says exceedingly clearly, Lashitase, that misafik in yochol lita mezuyafu. You can't tie mezuyaf misafik. You can only tie mezuyaf bevadai. So the same Tosfos Shum says you don't need kiyum. Just because the guy tying mezuyaf mezuyaf doesn't need kiyum. This is the Tosin Ksuvas following his own sheet. I mean, it's in the same paragraph. He says, no, this is a special takana only if he says for sure Mezuyaf, only if he says for sure Mezuyaf, and only if he's actually here saying it. It's a special takana to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said, look, if the guy is here and he's saying it's Mezuyaf, then you need to prove your case a little better. But Minastan, if the guy says, I don't know, we say, you don't know, Chazaka, that's not Mezuyaf. If the guy's not here, we say, you're not here to say anything, Chazaka, not Mezuyaf. As opposed to the Tosus Rid, who would say, no, everything's b'chashash mezuyaf until proven otherwise. Therefore, if he says it might be mezuyaf, Taka might be mezuyaf. And you would need kiyum. It could be as well, I apologize that all these nafkaminas really only mochrach in one direction, not the other. Theoretically, you could also agree with the Rid, because the takana applies even to a tiny shema. Theoretically, you could say, no, it's a special, it's really not a shashi, it's just a kun of kiyum, but the kun of kiyum applies even to a tiny shema, because when he demands it, we have to make, we have to unify his daito. So theoretically, you could, again, if you took the tzad that it's really not a chash ziyuf, then the nafkaminas are not as mocher. But if you take the tzad that it's chash ziyuf, then obviously it's a chash ziyuf, even if he's saying shaman, even if he's not here, you have to make a kind of shtar to get rid of the chash ziyuf. So what we know is that the Tosin Ksubas for sure hold that there's no chash ziyuf. For sure, Tosin Ksubas for sure holds that it's just a takana. The other Rishonim sound like they hold chash ziyuf, but we can't be 100% sure. And what we want to suggest, what Ellie wants to suggest here, is the third nafkamina, A, B, C, is nafkamina mode bishtar shekosvo. Right? That's what Ellie was saying, right? Ellie, I'm not misquoting you this time. Ellie was saying, this is the machlokas Rebbe and Rashban. He says, maybe this chakir is goof of the machlokas Rebbe and Rashban. What does Rebbe say? What's his lashon? It's a chaspa bi'alma until you admit that it's authentic. Well, chaspa bi'alma clearly sounds like it's really b'chezkas chash mezoyef, right? It's nothing. It's just a piece of scrap paper, right? The pottery shard, right? A mashal kecheres hanishbar. It's nothing till you mekayim it. Clearly, this is Rebbe who says it's a chaspa bi'alma until you're mekayim it, and therefore, what does Rebbe say? Mo de b'shtar shekosvo. Sarech l'kaimo. Why? Rebbe says, am I mixing up Rebbe and Rabbana? No. Rebbe says, what do you mean? This is not a takana that only applies when you say mezuyif. This is a fundamental psul in the shtar. The shtar is psul until you prove that it was really signed. So what does Rebbe say? Rebbe says that, no. This is not just a takana in certain circumstances. It's not a shtar without kiyum. And therefore, Pesha Asar, who, Hapeh, Shehitir. So maybe they're arguing this Chakira. Rebbe says, what do you mean? There's a coming, we're attacking to change the ground rules. There's a Chash Ziyav. They were attacking that every shtar is not a shtar until you prove that it was really signed. So therefore, it's not a shtar. Who made it a shtar? The Lova made it a shtar by admitting it was authentic. The Lova made a star. He claims to be Rome, Pesha Asar, Pesha Hinter. What will Rashbag say back? This is... I don't see the eraser. Yeah. This is Rashbag Lifi Rashbam, etc. Right? There are many shows who say like the Rashbam, right? The Ramban and Rashbam, and Zayin of Days have two days. One of them is like the Rashbam, one of them is like Tulsa's, two main days. The Rashbam and all those who agree with him, what does the Rashbag say? Rashbag says, no, it's a perfectly good shtar without kiyum. It's a perfectly good shtar without kiyum. It's just a perfectly good shtar without kiyum. It's just that you have this takana you have to take care of the kiyum shtaros. Oh, the takana doesn't apply in this case. He didn't claim mezuyah. Therefore, what do you pesha asar? You're not the one who made a shtar. It was a shtar on its own. Oh, you could have, like, pulled some takana out of your pocket. Okay, but the shtar is kosher on its own. You're not the pesha asar. So that's what he says. No, it's a good shtar on its own. It's a good shtar on its own. You are not the pesha asar. Oh, I said, didn't I have the right to say mezuyah? Say, you had the right to takana mezuyah. You didn't have the nemanus of mezuyah. You wouldn't have been believed to say mezuyah. We didn't really think it might be mezuyah. For sure, it's not mezuyah. You had the right to say, I demand my takana. Okay, but if you didn't demand your takana, then it falls away. So, it's a good shtar on its own, and you didn't... how do you say? To make it come into effect. What? Actuate?
Actualize.
You didn't actuate.
Actualize. Actuate has a good
chance. Really?
Actualize.
You didn't actualize the takana.
I don't know
if this word actuate. No? Actualize. Well, Phil, that's a good question. You're saying we don't want to be an actuary. Probably right. Actuate. To put into motion or action to activate. All right, but let's say activate just to not use fancy words.
You didn't utilize your takana.
Yeah, you didn't activate the takana, let's say. That way, there'll be no machlokas, we'll all get along. You didn't activate the takana, and therefore, ain't sarach l'kayimo. Okay, this is the most interesting part of Rebbe in the Rashbag, is Eli says, I'll tell you what the machlokas is. They're arguing about the nature of what the Rabbanan did when they made Kiyum Shtaros. And he says, look at the Lashon of the Gemara. Now, of course, only one of the Tanan has Lashon in the Gemara, right? But we'll just have to extrapolate our own. Rebbe says, it's a chaspa b'yamo v'al Kiyum. You're the Pesha Asar, because you admitted it was authentic signatures. So therefore, Pesha Asar, or you're Neman to say, Parati, one Rashbag say back, so that's why the Kunshin Bakam Acher, the Rashbag, and the other show that the Philo Rashbag said back. He said, no, it was not Chasmiyah, it was a perfectly good star. You just had this takana that you could press a button and you get the takana. If you didn't press the button, then there's no takana. So you have no nemanis. So he says, you are the Pesha Asar, you're not the Pesha Asar. So he's not the Pesha Asar. The shtar is the Pesha Asar. Because the shtar is kosher without him. Okay, so that's a very important chakir. We said there are two other nafkaminas, which again, I think, in one direction they're not mochrach, but still mustabir. If you see it as a real chash ziyuf, then that it's a chasva b'yamu dao kiyum, then if the lova's not here, it's chasva b'yamu dao kiyum. Of course you need kiyum. If the lova says, I'm not sure, it's chaspa b'yam without kiyam. The only way you can use a shtar is either if you have kiyam or the lova is moldeh to give it kiyam because he's the Aiden dummy. While if you hold just dakana, then while it's not mochrach, you could say, like the Tosfos and Ksuvos, it's just dakana. The dakana only applies to the guy's here. The dakana only applies if he says it's vada mizuyah. If the guy's here says vada mizuyah, if the rabbana made a dakana, then Rahmanu said him say, poor guy, he's here saying vada mizuyah. We should, give him the courtesy of investigating his claim. But if he only says, I don't know, we'll say, okay, well, if you don't know, let's move ahead with the kosher shtar. If he's not here at all, we say he's not here, let's move ahead with a kosher shtar. And it's not so crazy as the bring a famous raya from, anyone ever learned the beginning of Sefer Gittin? If you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz, what do you have to do? But you have to why? Because the main reason is, Rama? It might be Mizuyah. If you bring it again in Israel, keep in mind, it's not all a half a day's drive, right? Bringing it from Kiryat Shmona to Dimona, then you don't have to be a Kaimit. It's just perfectly fine. She can remarry on her own. So it says, why should she marry on her own? Maybe it's Mizuyah. The answer is no, because we're not really, there is no Takana. We're not really Choshish for Ziyuf. And it makes perfect sense according to this side of the Chakira. Okay, what would the other side of the Chakira say? The other side of the Chakira would have to say that every shtar is mezuyah until you prove it. They would have to say, like Tosfos and Gittin, yeah, really she shouldn't be. Really, mit Rabbanan, she's still an Eishes Ish, and it's a chashash ziyuf. Just mishumi guna, they made a special kula to let her remarry, even with a questionable shtar, because after all, she can remarry with an Eid Echad. She can remarry with a questionable shtar. That's a special pool of igun, but it's really not a valid get. Okay, let's get back to our sugya. Eli said one way that Rebbe could respond to Rashbag, right? But I don't think that's the only way. How else can Eli respond to it? So Eli is a... Not Rebbe. No. Okay. Eli is a very lumdish kind of fellow. He says, ooh, Rashbag, you're having this whole lumdus that really it's a valid shtar, just I could have used takana if I said mezuyah. But I also said mezuyah if there is no takana. I'm claiming no. There's always a takana. Every shtar is a takana that is ziyuf until proven otherwise. What if you were a little more balabatish? What were you going to say? You're going to say, Rashbag, you claim that I'm not believed to say parati because I didn't really have nemanus to say that it was mezuyah, right? I didn't have nemanus to claim mezuyah. I just had a takana to claim mezuyah. So he's saying, I'm not nem to say parati. What might you say back if you're a balabas? Say, what do you mean I'm not nem to say parati? After all, Migo, what's the rule of Migo? If I was lying, I could have said Mezoyef, no? So maybe what can be? In which case, the Yisod HaMachlokes is a Chakira B'inyan Takanas Kiyum Shtaros. But there's another way, right? The other way that Rebbe could say back is say, who cares about Lumdus? Who cares about Lumdus? If I was lying, could I have won the case by saying Mezoyim? Mezoyef? Yes. If I was lying, I would have said Mezoyef. I would have won. So therefore, you could say that psychologically, I must, telling the truth, that parati. Why? Because if I was lying, I could have said mezuyah and won. Now, Harishbag, what do you mean? You keep saying, but if I was lying, I wouldn't have really won because of mezuyah. It just would have been takana. Who cares? Lemaisa, if I was a liar, I would have said mezuyah and won. So why didn't I say mezuyah? Why did I say parati? I can't be saying parati because I'm a liar. Then I would have said mezuyah. The reason I said parati was because I'm a truth teller. So therefore I win. In that principle, migu mali l'shaker, right? Since I could have said this and won, why didn't I say the winning taina? If I was a liar, I would have said the winning taina. Must be I'm a truth teller. So isn't there a psychological proof through migo that I deserve to win? Maybe that's what Rebbe could say back to Rashbag. Right? Ellie?
Is this like what Rashi answered in Suez, the Rohan, the Migo, whether that's Prati, no Migo, do you see them?
In other words,
it doesn't work.
Why not?
It's supposed to be Kasha, no? In Suez, and then
that, why don't you have a Migo? And he says the Kuntras answers. Because of, it's only Takana, and the Takana is only if I say Mezoyef. So what Rebbe can say back is, you didn't really answer the question. I said, why don't you have a Migu? Why is it obvious you're telling the truth? And you answer back as some lumdus about a Takana. I don't get Lamaisa. I'm telling the truth. So, in which case, what am I hinting at? What is the Yesod of the Machlokas going to this, Derech? The Chakira of? Exactly. Now, again, I don't mean to say I was Machadish that the Yisod is Machalot and Rechon is like you're about Migu. Rav Chanan says that. I put it in the brackets, didn't I? Maybe the Yisod of the Machlokes is Chakira Be'inyan Migu. It depends how you look at Migu, says Rav Chanan. And Rav Chanan actually seems to have a good point. I think one of his strongest proofs for this idea of Koach HaTaina is the Rashbam's pshat in Rav Shimon ben Gamliel here. That's one of his strongest proofs. The only way out of it is the Ibn Azel, which is to say he's half right. But I don't think there's any way out of it to say he's wrong. What does he say? He says, look, it depends how you look at Migu. If you look at Migu as a psychological proof, then Rebbe's correct. Psychological evidence, then Rebbe's correct. Who cares why I would have won by saying Mezuyef? Right? This is like me, who cares why I would have won by saying Mezuyef? If I wanted to, I could have said Mezuyef. Therefore, I must be telling the truth when I say Parati. And what is the Rashbag saying? He's saying Koach HaTaina. That's exactly what Rechon is saying. You want to know the most first place I see Koach HaTaina in the Rishonim? This Rashbag. What's Rashbag saying? I could have won by saying Mezuyah. But I couldn't have won because I had the Koach to win. I could have won because the Takana would have been activated. I didn't have the Koach to win. I didn't have a winning Taina Mezuyah. What's he saying? Mezuyah is not a winning Taina. It just activates a takana. Mezuyah is not a winning taina. Mezuyah just activates a takana. Meaning, it's not a chaspa b'yalma. I really don't have a winning taina of Mezuyah. I am a losing Tanya Mezuyif. It's just as a kana that you're going to have to do kiyum. I could win indirectly because I have this takana right, and then when you can't fulfill it, you're stuck in limbo. But it's not that I win by saying mezuyif. I just get stuck in limbo because you have this takana that you need to fulfill. I don't really win by saying mezuyif, right? For example, if I said mezuyif, right, I wouldn't be believed to say mezuyif. They wouldn't rip up the shtar. Okay, it's obvious. I don't even think it would be a suffix. 50-50 suffix if I said mezuyif. If I said mezuyif, we'd be stuck in this takana. So maybe the machlok is a hakir about Migo that Rashbag says, again, this is all within the Rashbags there. There are other Rishonim, right? But Rashbag says, what do you mean? You have no koach hatayna of that you could have said, you have no koach hatayna that you could have said mezuyif. Mezuyif's not a winning taina, it just gives you a takana. But that takana is not that we believe you. We wouldn't believe mezuyif. We would just require kiyum in mezuyif. That's his point. Right? We wouldn't believe you. Believe you we would just require kiyum. Okay, so then I run the koach ha-taina. I don't have a winning taina. I have a taina where I could get the result that I wanted. But it's not a winning taina, because I don't have the way to win this case. I wouldn't be believed, I'd just have a takana. And Rebbe might say back that Lamaisa, psychological evidence, because, what do they say in Israel? Tachlis, right? Tafchaf lamed yud samach. Tachlis. I have a winning taina. I know it's not really a believable winning taina with koach ha-taina, but tachlis, I have a winning taina, so I must be telling the truth. So it could be that this is exactly, you know, is it true that Rebbe Rashbag are arguing about Hakir Rochanan? I don't know. It could be not. We have another. Eli gave us another option. But according to the Rashbam, they're arguing about one of these two things. I think it's more Meduyuk in the Lashon Gemara, like Eli was saying. Right, Eli? It's more than doing in the Lashon like Eli was saying. They're arguing whether it's Chasva B'yam without Kiyum or it's a good Shtar without Kiyum. But they also could be arguing about the Hakir Rochanan. They all agree it's a good Shtar without Kiyum. They all agree Kiyum is only some side problem with Hakana. But Rashbag says, therefore, I don't have a Migo because I don't have any Koch HaTayna, it's just Hakana. And Rebbe would say, no, what do you mean? I still have a Migo. L'maisa, in my mind, it's Chasva B'yam. In my mind, I would win if I said Mezuyif. Therefore, if I was a liar, it's a mezuyif. So if I don't see mezuyif, then, if I don't see mezuyif, then I'm never going to say parati. Word.
I saw somewhere, I don't remember where we saw it, but it's actually not a winning kind at all. Because if he just says parati, and they split it. If he says mezuyif, and they go in mekayim, and they say, it's not mezuyif, he loses everything. So he's gambling. He's not...
Beis Halevi says really this is not a valid migo at all. Okay, let's come back to that in a few moments. Now that's Rashbam, but what does Tosfos say the reason the Rashbam and Leal is? We'll stick with only two. There are two major Peirushim we've shown him. There are other minor Peirushim, which are basically going to be similar to one or the other. Basically, everyone's going to be some variation of Rashbam or some variation of Tosfos. What's Tosfos, Pshat? What's Tosfos, Derech?
He doesn't have a Migo, he's afraid.
Exactly. Tosfos says there's no Migo of Mezuyaf because he's afraid to say Mezuyaf, right? Meaning Migo is only where I could have said something. He's afraid to say mezuyif.
Why is he more afraid to give in another case?
Why is he more afraid to say mezuyif? So don't say because he might lose, right? Maybe it's not that he's afraid to say mezuyif because maybe they'll find kiyum and he'll lose. Because whatever, every time you might lose, but he thinks he'll win. Why is he afraid to say mezuyif? Because what's the difference between mezuyif and every other taina? Every other taina, let's say I taina parati, I taina this, that. If I end up losing, what do people say?
He lost.
They say he lost. We don't know what happened. Lamai said he lost, right? Meaning every time you lose, are you for sure wrong? No, I mean, many people are right, but they lose in court just because they can't find enough evidence, right? So, therefore, it's a person is willing to say all kinds of things, parati. I claim parati. What's he going to do? He's going to prove that I didn't pay back the loan, but he has a 24/7 surveillance on me, right? Most claims, you're willing to make the claim because, worst comes to worst, you might lose, but you won't lose your reputation. However, mezuyaf, what's going to happen? If, let's say I claim mezuyaf and it's really authentic. What's going to happen? For sure they'll discover it's authentic. Meaning, it's most of the people with blue, it's easy to be mekayim a true shtar. Meaning, I might stall for a year, I might stall for a month, whatever, I don't know how long things took in the old days. But it's easy to be mekayim a shtar. Once they're mekayim the shtar, I am a proven liar. It's not just that I lost the case. Meaning, I'd say, okay, fine, I'll take my chance of losing the case. That's not the part. The part is that I'm not willing to say mezuyaf until I might lose. So what do you mean? If I'm a liar, mezuyaf is my best bet, right? I'm not willing to say mezuyaf because I might lose my reputation. Every other time, I'm not likely to lose my reputation. What are the odds that you're going to not just prove that I don't deserve the case? What are the odds you're going to prove I lied? Very slim. I say I pay you back the money. I might end up losing, right? But no one's going to know who's telling the truth. They'll just know there's rules of evidence and someone had stronger evidence. But in mezuyaf, you're going to end up proving I lied because I'm saying these are forged signatures. You'll prove they're authentic signatures. That's a very easy thing to prove. So that's Tosfos Vart. No migu of mezuyaf because afraid to say mezuyaf because he will likely be proven a liar and ruin his reputation. That's a unique problem saying mezuyaf. Every other taina, you don't get into this problem. Every other taina, there's slim odds that you're going to prove me a bald-faced liar. Only mezuyaf, there's decent odds that you're going to prove me a liar.
I was just saying you never can have migo mezuyaf.
Correct, you can never have migo mezuyaf. You can never have migo mezuyaf in your whole life. You can never have migo mezuyaf because you're afraid that you might get, that you might be proven a liar. Therefore, there's no migo of mezuyaf. Okay, that's a reasonable, shot. Then?
I'm curious if in a similar scenario you talked about being calling all the photos I haven't done. Is this like a similar issue of level blue?
Yeah, there he was thinking a little further, I think, because there he's talking even if it's not proven, it just looks like I'm a liar. People are reluctant. That's a bigger criticism, this Tosfos. Yes?
Why is it any different than, like, I guess that's not really a.
I think it's different than any other Migo, because every other Migo, I can only be proven a liar if witnesses happen to be in the right place at the right time to see that what I said was wrong. Right? And what are the odds? I'm not worried about that. But the Zoyev, I can be proven to be a liar as long as witnesses recognize the signatures, even if they weren't at the right place at the right time. So think about it. I say I never borrowed money from you. Could I be proven a liar? Yes, only if people saw the time and place where I borrowed money. Oh yeah, that's a slim chance. Over here, anyone can know their signatures from any time and place, right? The agent themselves can come or someone else could come and say, I recognize their signatures because I saw them signed at a different time and place. And therefore, it's more likely to be proven a liar.
Does that mean in the Chakir of Rabbi Chanan, Tosfos would say Migu is Beir as opposed to Kolachatan? Because according to Kolachatan, then it's still a good Migu.
Simple pshat, I think Rabbi Chanan would look at it, is that in interpreting Rashbag, right, which is what Tosfos is dealing with, the Kunchus Bokam Acher is one side of the Chakira, and Tosfos is the other side of the Chakira. I think that is the simple shot.
It's even stronger. If there were witnesses to Parati, the Malva would have brought them.
Correct. Meaning, so you know, usually when it's just between the two of us, we know if there's witnesses or not, and I know I'm not going to be proven a liar. When it comes to signatures, how do I know if there are witnesses who are going to prove it's an authentic signature? Meaning they could be coming from left field. Okay, so this is a reasonable shot. Then you just have to ask, what would Rebbe say back? So why does Rebbe think that? Why does Rebbe think that it is a valid Migo? So Tosfos doesn't explain that. Tosfos doesn't explain that so much either. So I would say either Rebbe says. Oh. Either he just thinks people are not afraid of this. Machlokas in psychology. Okay, either Machlokas, he thinks they're not afraid of it, or he thinks they're not afraid enough of it, or, and this is the exact reverse of the Rashbam, or you have the Koach HaTaina, or you have the Koach HaTaina. Maybe Rabbi Dafka here flips. You know, Rabbi holds that you have the Koach, even though you would have been afraid to say it, you still have the Koach HaTaina because you could have said it.
I just want to end with the Evan Ozel.
What is the Evan Ozel here? The Evan Ozel says something that perhaps has been bothering you by everything I put on the board. You say maybe it's more complicated than that. The Evan Ozel says something which is not the Pashut Pshat in Tosfos. Some people might say they'd be confused when I put on the board because they were hoping it would be less complicated than that. No, there's no mercy here. This is not a place to come for Achmanis. But if you're hoping it would be more complicated than that, then I can try to fulfill that. The Evan Ozel says something very clever. He says, if you look in Tosos, Tosos has two drachim to explain Rashbag. Either he takes a more formalistic approach to Rashbag, this Kunshus Makom Acher, and says, well, it's all about the fact that Mezuyif is not really something you would have been able to say. It's not really a real shash. It's just that takana that applies when you say it. And when you don't say it, we don't apply the takana. That, or Tosus, the Bali Tosus themselves, who takes a more practical psychological approach, says, it's not a good amigo because people will be afraid to say something that could end up messing up their reputation and costing them more money than they're fighting over in the long run. The Evan Adel says, it could be, and... as Ari pointed out, you could get out of this, but L'chora, within Rashbag at least, Tosos is holding that Migo's psychological beaver, and the Kunshus Makom Acher is holding that Migo's Koach HaTaina. And then, when you go back to Rebbe, which is what Tosin was not discussing, he could either be arguing about the Migu Chakir or about something else. Now, the Evan Adel says it could be, again, I don't think he's reading this into Tosos, that both Pshatim are right. It could be there's Tzvei Dinim in Migu, says the Evan Adel, but he says, you're going to accuse me of inventing Tzvei Dinim in Migu, says the Evan Adel. He says, well, I'm not one of these briskers. I don't just invent Tzvei Dinim Stam for no reason, because I like to say Tzvei Dinim in things. No, I'm only going to say there's Tzvei Dinim in Migo. He's actually not even saying Tzvei Dinim in Migo. I'm only going to say Tzvei Dinim in Migo if I have a mucker of their Tzvei Dinim. He says, well, if you look in Shas, I'm not Mechadish any Tzvei Dinim. The Gemara says there are two different Dinim that are around the general area of Migo. What are the two different Dinim the Gemara mentions? Migo and... Pesha Asur, Pesha Hiter. What does the Evan Ozel say? He says, Migu is about the Birur, psychologically. Pesha Asur, Pesha Hiter is not. Obviously, he doesn't use Rochanan's phrase. He didn't know Rochanan's phrase. But he said something about the English of Birur cloud. Pesha Asur is not a Birur at all. Pesha Asur is not a Birur. Rather, it's a, he doesn't have to use phrase, it's a Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter, meaning there's a special din called Nemonis of Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter. He says something very mistaber, says the Evan Ozel. The Evan Ozel says there are Tzvei Dinim. There's a din of Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter, which is a Koach, right? Meaning whoever the Pesha Asur has the right to say whatever he wants to be Matir. That's the din of Koach HaTaina, meaning I created this whole thing in the first place, I'm the Bible to say whatever I want. Then there's something called Migu. Migu, what's the difference? Pesha Asar means I created the Chiyuv in the first place. So I have the right to clarify how and when if it applies. That's Koach HaTaina. Migu means no, the Chiyuv was there, I just could have gotten out of it. Right? That's the practical difference. Pesha means I created the Chiyuv or the Asar. Migu means the Chiyuv or Asar was there, I could have gotten out of it one way. So I could have gotten out of one way. That's not, why should I have Koach HaTaina? I could have gotten out of it one way, but I didn't. So believe me to get it out of the other way. That's a psychological birur. He says, if I don't, basically, Peshaz means I already won. I already won the case. I just mess myself up and then save myself.
That's Koach HaTaina. Since I got myself into, I created the case in the first place, I'm the one to resolve it. Migu means I already, not I already did win the case. That's special. I already could have won the case if I had said a clever taina. That doesn't give me any koach. Then it's just a psychological beer. So says the Evna Azel. Let's see if we can sneak him in blue here somewhere. Not going to be so posh. Says the Evna Azel. Says, Bezdi, man. He said they're both right. Why is there no Migu, which is a Birur? Because of Tosos' psychological reason. Why is there no Migu? There's no Migu because of Tosos' psychological reason. Because, how can you say a Migu if I was a liar, I would have said Mezuyev? No, if I was a smart liar, I wouldn't have said Mezuyev because I'm afraid of people knowing that I'm a liar. Right? Meaning, a good liar doesn't want everyone to know he's a liar. Otherwise, he won't be able to continue in his lying path. But even though there's no Migu, you'll ask, why is there no Pesha Asar, which is Koach HaTaina? It's not even Koach HaTaina. Pesha Asar means I don't need a Taina, meaning I already won. Why is there no Pesha Asar? We'll just call it because of the Rashbam's reason that even without my kiyum, I'm not the Pesha Asar, I didn't create the shtar. This star was valid without me. I just could have had a takana. So basically says, because of Rashbam's reason, I don't have a Pesha Asar. You can't say I created the whole star against myself. No, it was here all along. I just could have had a takana. You're like, if I could have had a takana, why not say amigo? Don't say amigo because people are afraid to say mizuyah. So that's the lundus of the Evan Azal. Then he goes back. He's a little misopek, and this was basically what he deals with. So which the Rebbe doesn't have to have two reasons. Is Rebbe because of the Migu reason, or Rebbe because of the Pesha Asar reason? That's the Machlokas, which Morty quoted from the Beis Halev, the Fakir of Evan Azel. But just to summarize what we have until now, what we have in the Sugya, we'll leave it at this. The Rashbag, Rebbe seemed very Pashut. Rebbe says, what do you mean? I could have said X, so I'm believed to say Y. That's called Tarkula. What is Rashbag's Svara? So we had two Svaras, I admit. There are other Svaras out there, but I think they're, and you can end up being equivalent to one of these two. Meaning there are other psychological Svaras out there. There may be other formal Svaras to say with some difficulty. One way of reading Rashbag is a Rashbag Koach HaTaina way. I know you could have won, but don't call that Pesha Asar. I know you could have won, but it's not because there was nothing against you until now. You could have had a takana, but really you lost. You just could have had a takana. If you don't have a takana, then you don't have a koach HaTaina. The other is psychological. Tosos says, I know you could have said a better taina, but really you would have been afraid to say that because you don't want to take chances on ruining your reputation. And what the Evan Azel says that, maybe there's no machlok. Tosos says there is a machlok between them. Maybe there's no machlok between them. One is explaining why there's no Pesha Asar, which we didn't koach HaTaina. And then you need to formally say, well, because the shtar is really valid, you just could have used takana. It's not that there was no shtar against you. And then the others get rid of Migo, you say, but even though I have no Pesha Asar, which is Koach HaTaina, maybe I have Migo. And the answer is no, you have no Migo because you're reluctant to say it. And then we just brought it back to Rebbe and said, well, whichever the Taina Rashbag is, what does Rebbe say back? Right? Meaning, according to Tosos, Rebbe has to answer this. According to Rashbam, Rebbe has to answer this. And according to Evan Azel, he has to answer one or the other, at least. Right? He has to answer one of them. So what are they arguing about? So, for Tosfos, they could be arguing about the technical psychology, how they evaluate and measure people's psychology, or they could be arguing about Koach HaTaina versus Birur. For the Rashbam, they could be arguing in the other direction, Koach HaTaina versus Birur, or, and this is certainly the most fruitful direction, and the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, is that Rebbe focused on the fact that Chasp of Yalma until Kiyum, implying that perhaps Rashbag thinks it's not a chas b'yalma until kiyum. Right? I assume that's where the Rashbag got his pshat from. It says Rebbe keeps mentioning chas b'yalma. Maybe the Rashbag doesn't like this chas b'yalma idea. They're arguing on a fundamental hakir of kiyum shtoros. Is it chas b'yalma until kiyum, and I admit that it's authentic, so I'm a pesha asar? Or no, it's perfectly kosher until kiyum. I just couldn't use it to takana. And that's the hakira, a known hakira about kiyum shtaros, the hakira that the Tosfos and Ksubos makes us think of in kiyum shtaros, is the nature of kiyum shtaros that it's a chas b'yalma. Until kiyum, because it's shas yiyuf, or no, it's a good shtar until kiyum, you just have a takana of kiyum. We said there might be two other nafkaminas to that. What if there's no taina either way on behalf of the lover, either because he's not here or because he's taina shema? So if it's a chas b'yalma, then of course you need kiyum. If it's only takana, then maybe that takana wouldn't apply. Okay, I think we'll have to call it a day here. Just the chazer, what we're going to do next. This is a very, very important takiris. Just the chazer, what we're going to do next. We're going to look through the top of Zayin and Beis. Again, not to get into, I'm not ready yet, because the Iker line is later on Daf Beis, to get into the sodos of exactly what happens when a shtar falls and exactly why should you be choshish for one thing and not another thing. Let's try to understand the pshat way, which is why I just gave a little makoros to understand pshat and pashat pshat in the Gemara. And then we'll go on to, that'll be a little bit of a distraction, to continue shtar and the mishtar. The second half shtar and the mishtar is the bottom Zayin of Beis, going on to the first few lines of Chesem and Aleph, which is what if they're holding on to unequal parts of the shtar as a very, very chomer sugya. And that's what we will get into on Monday. I don't know the chorus on the chorus typed up yet. I'll email them later, Bleened. But just to know what we're going to look at, we're going to go on in the Gemara until the first six lines of the Chesem and Aleph, Rashi, Tosfos, and certainly Be'ikr, Rashi, Tosos, the Rambam, and the Rif. The Rambam and the Rif about Torah and Tofes. Don't look too hard. But look for the Rambam and Rif about Torah and Tofes. And look at the Rabbeinu Hananel here, who's going to be in a Hanami a little difficult. And the Ramban. And that will be the main course in the Rishonim. And then the Achronim, I'll send them out. That will be the main Rishonim. If anyone is interested in looking at the Chazon Yecheskel, I do have a copy. And we're going to come back to Eli's point about the Chazon Yecheskel. Thank you.